magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, August 6th, 2018, the first Monday in this new glorious month. I guess every month, every day with the Lord is a glorious good day. Would I get an amen out of you, Marianne?
Amen.
How about our special guest, Kathleen Jennings? Amen and amen. All right. Well, we're here. It's Monday, typically, or many times, or often.
Well, it is on Monday, typically Monday.
Yeah, it is Monday, typically Monday, on a Monday. But we read from the Prime Life Times.
Oh, there you go.
But before we get into some of the reading, especially a story that you've penned and typed up, I guess not typed. What do you say now that it's keyboards? And is it still typing
officially? She wrote it.
I wrote it, and then
she got it into
a computer. You know, nowadays word processing everything is digital or Word documents.
Would
or
you
whatever.
Say I word processed it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But it's a great story. All of yours are, and this is no exception.
Yeah, and at this point, our 11 counties are served with the Prime Life Times papers. They got delivered, what is it, last Friday, I think, and everyone's busy coming in, picking them up, delivering them, taking them to different locations. So if you haven't seen your edition of the Prime Life Times, it means you're either not a subscriber, or it'll arrive in today's mail, or you just haven't been out and about to almost 200 area locations where they're free of charge. Now, the subscription is $30, and that basically just covers the postage, first-class mail to get it to you as soon as it's off the press. But most all the places are filled up, and in fact, I think we're working on maybe one or two more counties
in the next
couple of weeks. So,
that's great.
Very good.
Woohoo! 11 counties East Central Illinois currently served with the Prime Life Times. Now, today, Marianne, you know about this. In a couple hours, we'll be having a Prime Life Times staff meeting.
Yep, we will.
And Lord willing, we'll have Karen, who's our office manager extraordinaire, but also a proofreader.
Eagle eyes.
And our whole family is kind of gifted in that area.
Yeah, they seem to be.
I've told many a story where growing up and taking them around to Chicago or an outing, they all had their books and they're reading as I'm driving along. They could, gosh, everyone's bookworm in this family. Well, they're all good at writing and proofreading. And
Rob and I often say to each other, has Karen seen it?
Yeah.
Then we feel comfortable.
Jason and I always, when we have like a newsletter or something, we always give it to her for the acid test, we call it. Where she just goes through it and we know anything, the wording or the redundancy or the wrong tense or something. Yeah. She cleans it all up. And she's always really sensitive. Well, I think it's good, but maybe you'd want to think about possibly changing this or saying it this way, but yours is fine, but it might be clear. I mean, she's always so good with that. So thank you, God, for Karen, and thank you, God, for Kathleen Jennings, who has been writing stories for us for a long time. In fact, I'm so proud when I look at the wall here, the 10 months that we've been producing and having total oversight for the content in the Prime Life Times. And that's a really neat wall to look at our editions.
It makes me feel two things at once, energized and like I need to go lay down.
Right.
What were you going to say, Kathleen?
I was going to say it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard to believe.
Well, I know. And in September next month, we'll be here at the center for 2 years.
Mark.
It seems like maybe we're entering our second year now, but because of the 10 months of the paper, that's like almost a year just doing the paper and then all the other radio events and gatherings and the broadcast from here. But it'll complete two years. We'll be entering our third year.
I think we need to have Jim Gunther come in and just hang out for like a couple weeks. It'll just remind us how it was at the beginning when he was here every day. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to paint that.
that's crazy.
Right. Hard to believe it was that long ago that we cut that ribbon and...
Prayed it up, John, who's the chairman of our board. He was right out front, and we had some opening prayer time and then cut the ribbon. And, yeah, that's nearly 2 years ago.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Well, God has continued to expand our borders through, obviously, the radio broadcast, but this Prime Life Times nearing a year now as we continue to increase listenership and places where it can be picked up. We estimate over 26,000 monthly readers, and we know a number of people that take it and hand it out to their small group or husband and wives that read it, and so it gets into people's hands, and people said, oh, I finished my edition, and I give it to so-and-so, or you've had stories Marianne, where people like up near Cisna Park or Hoopston or different areas where they'll go to one of the locations and take 10 or 15 so they can hand them out.
Sure,
and I know, Kathleen, you like the Mettler Center or different places where you'll take a handful, or when you visit with someone, you have copies you hand out, or in Sunday school class and other places. So I share all those examples because you can do that too. Find one of our stands or go to our website. There's a listing or a heading that says distribution. You click on it and it sorts by town and by address all the different locations in each and every one of the towns, the 11 counties, where you could pick up a handful or whatever. And please be good stewards of them. Make sure you hand them out. Don't just sit them in your back seat of the car till the next month comes. But help us get the word out about this great paper. And
it's funny you said that. I've got like six in my back seat.
Yeah, well,
but
so
do I. It's just in case
at all times.
I'd like to have one.
In fact, the other night we ate at the Texas Roadhouse, and I went in, and I was like, oh, they didn't get their August edition. Oh. So I ran out to the car, grabbed the whole handful, and put them in, and I text Jason.
Yeah.
I covered you, man. I got your delivery done over here. So, so exciting times. And we haven't had you back, Kathleen, for maybe 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month of reading some of the stories that you submit.
It's been a while. Now, John and I have been traveling. And
traveling the world.
We have done a little bit of that. That's right. And then we've also been up in Michigan at the lakes, spending time with our children and grandchildren.
Nice.
So try to get it all in the summer months.
Yeah. School starting soon on Friday's edition. Jason and I were like, I think the Muhammad schools is like in about a week or so.
Seems pretty early.
Yeah,
it
pretty
is
soon.
Early.
And Judah Christian is like in 2 weeks or
that's
less
right.
than 2 weeks now. I think it's maybe a week. From this coming Monday, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe Muhammad is this week or certainly next week. It's like, it's
well,
really
since my kids were out of school and I stopped teaching, I kind of lose track.
Yeah.
Sure.
Lose track of that.
Yeah, well, when you're retired, I mean, nobody slows down when they're retired. I've learned that. Everyone I know says, you know, and Paul Steins, we were at his 80th birthday last week. And all of them say it's just that you're pulled in so many new directions now. And, you don't slow down when you get retired.
Oh, you better never retire because you're
retreaded.
Pulled in enough as
it is. That's right.
Directions as they go.
I don't think you could add anymore.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure this out. So we're in Section B.
Your favorite section.
Section B, thank you, God, that we've grown enough that we could extend it into two sections. And you've been writing a series that you've called From Generations to Generations. Maybe for the listener that hasn't been introduced to the writing style, maybe they've just seen your watercolor artwork that have been shown around the area, but they don't know that you're also an author on the side. But why From Generations to Generations? Does character really matter?
Well, character really does matter, as it says. We learn things from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are traditions, as they say, in Fiddler on the Roof, tradition. And their traditions, they become traditions because they are important. There are a lot of things that are very important, and sometimes it's easy to forget, especially in these days of the computer age. Do you sit down and talk with your grandchildren or even your children or spend time together like that without the TV on or without doing it on the computer or your cell phone, because it's very important. Lessons have been learned.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea of the sacrifices that have been made. I know since I've been doing this series and speaking with veterans, I hear about the stories about the time in the military, but also about their families and about things that have happened. And I see, my gosh, you know, it's a story that could be about anybody's family. Mm-hmm. And there are surprises and there are heartaches, but there's always a sense of moving forward.
Yeah.
A sense of moving forward and on to the next.
Well, and that
next.
Greatest generation, as it's been referred to, was such a foundational building block for this country and for our character and for so many of the societal rooted hard work ethic and
That's
different
right.
things that seemingly were moral. I don't know. Maybe every generation has that and passes certain things on. But what I'm struck by the senior saints that I know and many of the people that you've interviewed that I've also known or have met, there's a tendency that they slow down enough where our generation, my generation, we're so busy, so consumed. There's so much stimulus that competes. I mean, I find in my own life that if I'm out of balance and I haven't slowed down long enough, I'm robbed of new concepts, new energy.
That's true.
Because you're attending to so much. And what I'm finding, like, I think the art of reading, because nobody sits much. I can't say nobody. Many no longer sit. I find myself so busy where I used to love reading and sitting, and that's when you can think. And
that's
I'm so busy attending to things that I just know that it's cropping or it's canceling some of the things that God would speak to me because I'm busy attending to things. And so it seemed like the older generation knew how to pause and slow down. And, well, you know, many of our listeners are farmers. And so you get a lot of time when you're in a combine or whatever to think. Or people that attend to certain jobs, they can think. Where with all the stimulus, with the computer, with the latest YouTube thing or the posting and all the stimulus and the visuals, I don't know. I think it's crowding out that space where we just have to pause and can think.
Right. There are many positive things that come from the innovations that we have, but if that's the only life we're living,
that's well said.
Then we lose the significance, I think.
All to say, that's what I meant to say.
Okay.
All my examples. So you have From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings, The Yanks Come to the Emerald Isle.
Ooh, let's read it.
Yes. We were very, John and I were very, very blessed to be able to go to Ireland this summer. The Yanks Come to the Emerald Isle. As we traveled southwest from Belfast in County Down, along narrow country roads, over rolling hills, through lush valleys and past small villages, I understood why Ireland is called the Emerald Isle. The deep green of the countryside was stunning. I thought about my great-great-grandparents and the life they lived in Ireland before making the harrowing journey to the United States. Guildford, my great-great-grandfather's birthplace, was just over the next hill. Located along the River Bann, and once home to a thriving linen mill, the village of Guildford waned after the mill closed in 1986, but it retains its quaint atmosphere and friendly demeanor. From its Main Street barbershop, to the post office across the street, to Guildford Castle on the village outskirts, the 19th century charm remains. In late 1943, American troops were stationed at Guildford Castle, where a hospital was built overlooking the back of the castle grounds. As the medical unit moved on to the grounds, the black soldiers of an advance party were relocated to nearby Strathmore Farm, or the Banville Camp, complying with the racial segregation policies still in place in the American military. Hoping to make the Americans' time in Guildford as pleasant as possible, many local families befriended the young men, invited them into their homes, and held informal dances and parties. The soldiers reciprocated by giving the local children hard-to-acquire sweets, cakes, and soap from their personal rations. By the end of 1943, the regiment was reorganized and became the basis of the 6th Cavalry Group, the 6th Cavalry Reconnaissance Squadron, and the 28th Cavalry Reconnaissance Squadron. When General George S. Patton carried out an informal inspection tour of the U.S. troops in Northern Ireland, he visited the troops at Guildford Castle and the Guildford Banville Camp. For both British and American troops, the Northern Ireland terrain became one massive training camp. The entire area served as a blueprint for the physical environment they would encounter in Italy, France, and Germany. The first Americans stationed here would take part in Operation Torch, which was the Allied invasion of North Africa. and the Allied invasion of Italy. Subsequent American forces, trained in these hills and valleys, went on to France and the D-Day landings of Operation Overlord. When we stayed overnight at Beech Hill Country House near Londonderry, we learned that the United States Navy and Marines were also here, when in 1942, the largest American naval base in Europe, Base One Europe, was established in the city of Londonderry. The Marines sent to protect the base and other important area installations became known as the Irish Marines, and they were billeted on the grounds of the Beech Hill Estate. The enlisted men lived in Quonset huts, and the officers stayed in the house itself. One of the stories highlighted in the recently established museum in the Country House Hotel involves U.S. Marine Commander Lieutenant Colonel James J. Dugan and Londonderry Lord Mayor Freddie Simmons. The Lord Mayor, obviously tired of hearing Dugan...
This Lord Mayor, I think of the Lord Mayor Station Manager Mark Burns.
I don't think so. Who started this?
Hey, wait, back to this billeted?
Billeted, that means they stayed.
Yeah, where'd you come up with that word?
It's a military term.
Okay. I hadn't heard that one or written or read that one before.
You're billeted.
Billeted. Yeah. On the grounds of the Beech Hill.
You need to read more, Mark.
I do. I think I'll slow down.
That's funny.
Okay, back to Lord Mayor.
Lord Mayor Mark. One of the stories highlighted in the recently established museum in the Country House Hotel involves U.S. Marine Commander Lieutenant Colonel James J. Dugan and Londonderry Lord Mayor Freddie Simmons. The Lord Mayor, obviously tired of hearing Dugan extol the accomplishments of his troops, challenged the commander during a local civic function by exclaiming, "You think they can do anything, but they can't play the bagpipes." Dugan accepted the challenge and formed the first ever pipe and drum band in the U.S. Marine Corps. Just in time to play at the Londonderry Guild Hall on the first anniversary of the Marines' arrival in the city. It is believed that members of Commander Dugan's band later piped Marines ashore at Iwo Jima.
Wow.
Local residents were thankful for and delighted at the presence of the American military. They had long dealt with a sense of fighting the war almost completely on their own. From the time the first U.S. troops arrived in January of 1942, the residents felt the United States was committed to defeating Hitler and securing peace in Europe. In all, over 300,000 American troops were stationed in Northern Ireland, most involved in the liberation of mainland Europe, helping to ensure relative peace for the area until the escalating time of the Troubles, a story best left for another day.
Oh, my.
It's like the sequel or, you know,
it
the
is.
Next story.
The prequel,
people are going to
wait
for the next story to come out on that. Oh, very good.
Cliffhanger.
Kathleen Jennings, who currently lives in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist, referred to earlier in this program, who loves history and researching personal stories of World War II. You can contact her at Kathleen at Watchmen. onthewall.com, Kathleen at watchmanonthewall.com.
Kathleen, I knew nothing of this piece of history.
Well,
this is amazingly interesting.
I didn't know really much about it at all either until we went to Ireland, until we went on the trip. And we were able to stay in that same country house where they had the museum, and people were very willing to talk about it. And there are monuments, memorial monuments, all through the area of Northern Ireland, recognizing the contribution that the American troops made.
And this picture, what a classic.
Yeah.
American troops marching to quarters in Ireland in 1942.
And they're like, I don't know, five or six wide,
you know,
down this whole road with the, almost I was thinking British with that helmet. But, there are American troops marching along. It's just a great World War II picture.
They had a Quonset hut there on the grounds that you could see, so you could see what they were like.
So if you were an officer, you got to stay in the Beech Hill country estate.
That's right.
Yeah, this castle, there's two pictures of the castle here. So in nice grounds, well, woods area.
Yeah, there are two different buildings. One is Guilford Castle, which is just outside the town of Guilford. And the other is the Beech Hill Country House, which is down by Londonderry.
I mean, for all we know, some of these American soldiers had Irish history and came by their bagpipe playing rightfully.
That's right.
You just don't know. But I thought, well, gosh, showed him, didn't he?
And I'm just thinking, you know, as you were reading, just the appreciation I had for our veterans and those that have served in the various wars or battles or that protect our freedom. And we know many veterans. And I even think of Jim Ramis today, and he served. And
so
every time we sang the national anthem or we honored our veterans, many Singing Men events, we'll have all the veterans stand up. Well, a third of the Singing Men would rise, and Jim Ramis was one of them. And, you know, Paul Steins is a veteran, and... Anyways, so many of our listeners are veterans, so we appreciate your service.
Yes,
we appreciate the spouses. There were many women served in various roles, too.
That's right.
Hospitals and all the things with World War II were behind the scenes they were working.
Well, like the Esther that your last article was about.
Yes.
Esther Travers over in the VA. Mm-hmm.
She's at the VA hospital in Danville. Well, and I appreciate the veterans' willingness to speak with me.
Yeah.
Because some of the memories are not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of these men were very young when they left home.
Yeah.
And I know, gosh, when I left home for college, I was thinking, oh, well, I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm going to do this. But then sometimes in the evenings, I can remember, oh, I wonder what they're doing at home.
A little bit homesick.
Yeah, I wonder what they're doing at home.
Oh, I like
and
that phrase.
So I think they really made sacrifices that we simply would not know about or couldn't begin to understand unless they talked to us.
And then back then, they didn't have the same counseling and the ways to deal with all the trauma and being traumatized in the bombings. And, I mean, many of them buried that for years and years and years.
Yes, they did. And they didn't have the communication to jump on a computer
even
once a day or once a week. And,
No.
You know, had to wait on mail.
Thank you, God, for our veterans and those that serve and those that protect our country even now. We appreciate your service to our country
us. Yes,
and
very
the
much.
Sacrifices you continue to make and have made. Oh, well, thank you, Kathleen. Thank
you,
Mary
Ann.
Get your copies of the Prime Life Times in many locations and also viewed at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Mary Ann Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.